SS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News, the vice presidential debate. I'm Daria Albinger. Immigration, tensions in the Middle East, abortion, and of course the economy. They're all expected to be major topics in tonight's CBS vice presidential debate. Republican J.D. Vance and Democrat Tim Walz will face off in New York. Jeffrey Skelly, a senior elections analyst with Our Partners at 538, says the stakes are high because the race remains extremely close.
It is looking like a race that could potentially be decided by one state. There's always a tipping point state, whether it's a close election or a landslide. But the situation we have here is that the election looks very close. And so there is a possibility, about a 1 in 8 shot based on our most recent calculations, that this election could come down to one state.
And it could be the last debate before the November election. This is ABC News. Celebrated actor John Amos has died.
John Amos starred as the dad, James Evans Sr., on the iconic Norman Lear 70s sitcom Good Time.
I'm the man of this house, and I'll bring home the bacon.
But he often clashed with the all-white writer's room, who he felt didn't always understand the black experience, telling Vlad TV a couple of years ago.
Like I said, I wasn't the most diplomatic guy, so very often it would end in me saying, well, let's go outside then.
Amos was fired from the show, but the next year he'd get an Emmy nomination for his role in the acclaimed miniseries Roots. He also played Eddie Murphy's burger boss in Coming to America, Admiral Fitzwallace on The West Wing, and he had at least three projects in the works when he died. John Amos was 84. Jason Athenson, ABC News, Hollywood.
The Roman Catholic Church in Vermont has filed for bankruptcy. According to a filing in federal court, the Diocese of Burlington faces more than 30 lawsuits alleging child sex abuse by clergy that took place decades ago. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anytime at the WISS website at WISS.FM.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
hey, you got this. Just breathe. Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
They're eating the pets.
J.D. Vance has said on the air that he admitted it was all a lie. Pat Kreitlow, words have consequences.
Of course they do. When we're talking about the incendiary remarks about immigrants, we're not talking about the fact that it was Donald Trump and Donald Trump alone who killed the bipartisan border security and immigration reform bill.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A suspect sits in an Arizona jail, accused of a brutal murder in southeast Wisconsin last weekend. Teresa De Jesus Cruz Rubio's headless body was found in Glendale Friday night. Her son allegedly confessed to investigators that he killed her. Police found him after they spotted her car in Phoenix Saturday morning. Donald Trump in Wisconsin claiming Iran's missile attack on Israel Tuesday would not have happened if he were still president. He blames the Biden-Harris administration.
And now we have them in charge of potentially World War III, and World War III is going to be like no other if it happens because of nuclear weapons and other weapons of mass destruction.
Trump is the first Republican to campaign in Dane County since Bob Dole in 1996. Kamala Harris campaigns in the Fox Valley Thursday. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
It's time for the MLB postseason. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. The Brewers will play the Mets today to open up the best-of-3 wildcard round. Milwaukee enters as the NL Central champion and third seed in the NL. Manager Pat Murphy said the Brewers are young but ready for the postseason.
It's about getting them ready. We're going to face one of the best teams in baseball, whoever it is, with a lot of firepower. With a guy on the mound that's good. You know, you can say, well, he only had 4 days or he only had 3 days. This time of year, you can throw all that stuff out the window. It's about being ready to play, and we're going to play against somebody good. So, you know, buckle your chin strap and let's roll.
First pitch is after 4:30 p.m.
The Green Bay Packers will try to bounce back this week as they play the LA Rams on Sunday. Kickoff this week against the Rams is after 3 p.m. on Sunday. And Wisconsin football will play in back-to-back 11 a.m. games the next 2 weeks. They host Purdue this Saturday and play at Rutgers next week. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy for tonight, a low in the low 40s. Mostly sunny and nice for tomorrow, a little breezy in the afternoon, highs in the low 70s. We climb to the mid-70s on Thursday with sun, but cool to the upper 60s on Friday. It's 55 right now.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the legendary comedy team Stephen Leo, writers of The Santa Claus, Space Jam, and Kicking and Screaming. And Abby Novak joins the show to talk Appleton's Shop, Sip, and Stroll.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He need cut a deep end.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
Hey, which means distant thunder. Hey, Cudgy Weed, all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. And this portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
A great sponsor and great work that they do all over Turtle Island. Amazes me. Hey, we're here with Dr. Stately, and Dr. Stately is a Native American Community Clinic president and CEO. And we're here just having our normal conversations. I want to say recognize Orange Shirt Day. Dr. Stately, welcome to Native Roots Radio.
Good afternoon. Good evening. How are you all?
Doing good.
I forgot to wear my orange shirt today.
Okay. Well, yeah.
You're not wearing one either, though.
Oh, well, thanks for calling.
Not like I'm tattling on you. It's obvious you're right there.
Hey, I heard something today. If people were saying, if you didn't have an orange shirt, that you yourself were the orange shirt.
Yeah. So, like, yeah.
It's
built into the skin.
That's right.
It'd be hard to see. Can you see it?
Yeah.
You're kind of orange. Yeah, you're a little orange there. You got the farmer's orange. You must be doing a lot of growing out in the backyard there at your fellatio unit out there.
And, my palace.
Your palace.
Yeah.
Hey, with your assets, I'd retire, you know?
I'm not sure how to respond to that. I was like, yeah.
Hey, so I want to ask you about harm reduction.
Oh yeah, my harm reduction shirt. Today we had a big huge event outside in our clinic today, and today is one of the days our street outreach team is open. We open up our back door, we provide food, and today was a big event because we were doing a bunch of things with them. So people come to the back of our building, we open up our garage door, we provide all kinds of harm reduction services and kits like clean needles and a bunch of other things. But today was a special day because we have the, I forget who it is, they're going to kill me. They have a clever name, but anyway, they bring shoes. So twice a month they come, they bring shoes, and houseless people need a lot of shoes. Homeless people, they're walking the streets, you know? So unlike me, who doesn't walk anywhere, and it shows, sorry.
Yeah. Okay. You walk your dog.
I've had the same tenant pair of tennis shoes for 5 years.
Oh my God, that's
the luxurious. Those are your indoor shoes?
No, I just like, you know, my whole family makes fun of me because I don't ever really buy any new shoes.
I don't know what to say to that. I thought you were walk the dog all the time. Have you been lying to all my listeners?
I do, but like, you know, I'd have to walk them thousands of miles to, like, you know, run out to wear out my shoes, I suppose. I don't know.
Wow.
It probably speaks more to the fact that I am just like, I'm a miser. I don't like to spend a lot of money on stuff. I grew up poor. So like, I'm going to get like the last, you know, square little tiny milliliter of track, got, you know, some rubber out of that shoe before I throw it away.
Wow.
So my nephews buy me shoes for my birthday sometimes, because I won't buy them for myself.
Wow. I'm that way with paper towels. I have paper towels in my pockets all the time, and I don't know what that's all about, but
we were supposed
to use paper towels, and so I always have to, but they're handy, you know, if something happens, I got them in my pocket ready to go.
That's true. You never know. You're the quicker picker-upper, you know.
Well, Dr. Staley, you have a birthday coming up this week.
I do, yeah.
Are you catching up to me?
Hot on your heels. I have been for the same number of years, but, you know.
So you'll be 53?
I'll be 62 on Thursday.
Oh, okay. So you're still a young warrior there, 61.
Somewhat, yeah.
Baby elder.
Yeah, but I'm it's so odd because I was born in 1962, so it's my I'm turning 60. How does that whole thing work? Is it my golden birthday?
No.
My golden retirement birthday, my golden.
No.
How does that work? Anyway.
Yeah. That's a good question. That is a good question. Wow. Hopefully I'll be invited to this birthday party. In the last few years.
I don't have birthday parties.
Oh.
Oh, we got to throw you one then.
Yeah. This
over
is like,
Haley's house.
So, yeah. This is why I don't tell people that it's going to be my birthday, because I don't like to have this conversation. But I think it's like leftover stuff. You know, I'm a middle child, and I'm a child. I'm one of seven, and I'm kind of later down the line here. You know, so things that, you know, I think are probably a lot of other Native kids, especially from, like, you know, my family was I'm fourth generation boarding school survivor.
Mm-hmm.
My mother and my father both went to boarding school. Their parents went to boarding school, and my mother's grandparents went to boarding school. So my great grandparents. In fact, my grandparents, my grandparent, Paul LaRocque, went to Carlisle in the early 1900s. He played ball with, he played football with Jim Thorpe.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. But I think the residual effect of, like, being, you know, a boarding school kid, and also being like a member of a family who had relocated from White Earth during the Relocation Act period of time, growing up kind of like poor, like, I just don't, you know, I'm like there's hardly any pictures of me when I was a kid, right? Lots of pictures of the first two or three kids. And then, you know, I'm just like, oh, look, there's Tony when he was five. No pictures or evidence of me being
right.
I was like, oh, did I drop from the sky?
Well, I always claim that's why I was an alcoholic, because my parents really didn't take pictures of me, or they kept me low profile, and I was a cute kid too. So that was on my list of things.
Wow. We have no evidence of that, but, you know, we're just going to take your word for that. But, but you can't blame your parents for making you an alcoholic. That's crazy.
that was a long time ago. That was 40 years when I was grasping at straws.
You know, I was just like, anyway, it's interesting that today is a National Boarding School Day, Boarding School Survivor Day, and I like haven't really, like I happened to see somebody at the clinic wearing an orange shirt, and I was like, oh, I forgot my orange shirt. And I actually don't even own an orange shirt. I just happen to think orange looks horrible on me, but I will make an orange shirt. I'll make an orange ribbon shirt this year, so I have one next year. But I often don't think of myself in that way. I don't think, like, it doesn't hold as much presence in my day anymore, in my mind. And just, so I guess maybe I'm healing. I don't know, I suppose.
Yeah, probably so. I guess, too, a lot of the orange shirt is in remembrance of all those young ones that didn't make it back. And
yeah, and there's plenty of that.
Yeah. Hey, we're here with Dr. Stately, Native American Community Clinic President, CEO. We'll be right back after this short break.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org.
Let's live and let howl.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Love that tagline. Hey, welcome back here. We're Dr. Stately, and we have our friend Barry Hand coming up next, and he's talking to us in our chat. He thinks we're funny.
Yeah, I guess we're a couple of little jokesters. But I should say, I should apologize for being so glib about boarding school survivor day. I think one of the things I would say is, like, it's really important that we also acknowledge that many boarding school survivors and their children, their grandchildren, their great grandchildren have the residual grief and, you know, a lot of harm that they still live with. And that is kind of like the nature of historical trauma and intergenerational grief, that people sometimes suffer from those things greatly, even if they themselves have never gone to boarding school, right? So, and it's important to acknowledge that and help us. It's also important to recognize that that experience has been probably, along with like forced removal of children, you know, in the 60s and 70s, which is kind of the things that happened to my family, are things that have really reshaped Native American families and our community. It's been probably one of the most damaging things that have happened to us over the generations. So we're still working our way out of those things in many of our communities. I think it's a very unique contribution that it has to our mental health and substance use problems within our communities. So, like, you know, opportunities to just kind of like acknowledge that, and you know, I should be a little bit more careful with it, how I joke about those things. But you know, I've worked hard. I think one of the things I mentioned this, I can't remember if I mentioned it in this context, but I mentioned, like, one of the things I'm the most proud of is that for myself and the work I've done on my own healing and well-being is, like, you know, the experiences that I had with me being in boarding school, the physical abuse, the sexual abuse, you know, all the kinds of things that have really, you know, were really traumatic for me in my early life. Those things stopped with me and my generation for my children. My children have never seen me drunk or high. They've never, they'll never experience those things.
Right.
So it worked really, really hard to, you know, to work through those things and heal from them. So, prayers up for all the people who are still struggling with those conditions. And hopefully, you know, you'll get some support and some, strength from your ancestors and your, as well as the community, hold you up and support you while you work on that.
Okay. Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, and it's a National Day of Remembrance for the U.S. Indian boarding schools. And, you know, there's a whole bunch of reasons why it's a yellow shirt. But I just want to say, I saw this thing that popped up on my social media, and it said the last residential school closed in 1996. The TV sitcom Friends premiered in 1994. Don't let them tell you it's ancient history. And I think you were talking about that right there, you know, with your family and people we know.
Yeah. I mean, I give talks and trainings and lectures and, you know, discussions sometimes about historical trauma and its impact or generational grief and, you know, the impact of those experiences like boarding school and a number of other failed policies that the United States have had. In their attempts to address the Indian problem, right? They have, it's important to, when we talk about intergenerational grief or historical trauma, that we understand that sometimes that's a misnomer. Like, people think like, oh, it's, well, that happened so long ago, like, why are we still complaining about it? It happened so long ago, why can't we just forget about it and move on? Well, that's just not the way that trauma and grief work. I think the other part of it is like, you know, I'm 62 years old. I went to boarding school when I was 5, and I got out when I was 11 and a half years old, or 12 years old. And then that wasn't that long ago, you know. Was 47 years ago or so, right? So I think part of it is like recognizing that, you know, that isn't a long time, right? Mm-hmm. And in some places in the United States, there's still boarding schools that operate, even though they're not necessarily operated in the same way. But our children spend a lot of time away from their families, from their loved ones, their parents, their grandparents, their great-grandparents. And that has an impact on children.
Yeah, absolutely. There was the story about how Orange Shirt Day came up was, I've seen, and it was like Jack went to, or Phyllis went to a mission for 1 year of school in 73 and 74, and had just turned 6 years old and lived with the grandmother on Dog Creek Reserve. We never had much money, but somehow Granny managed to buy me an outfit to go to the mission school. I remember going to Robin's store and picking up a shiny orange shirt. It had string lace up in the front and was so bright and exciting, just like I felt to be going to school. When I got to the mission school, they stripped me and took away my clothes, including my orange shirt. I never wore it again. I didn't understand why They wouldn't give it back to me. It was mine. The color orange has always reminded me of that and how my feelings didn't matter and how no one cared and how I felt I was worth nothing. All of us little children were crying and no one cared. So that's how Orange Shirt Day started.
That's a sad story. But I mean, I remember those experiences, my first days showing up at boarding school, and doing all the things, cutting my hair, taking away my belongings, those kinds of things. It's a beautiful story and a very sad and mournful story at the same time.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm
really regretful it wasn't a purple shirt because I really love purple.
Well, that we can segue into the Vikings victory too, if you want.
Oh yeah, that was a pretty cool thing, huh? It's like, okay, but don't get too excited because it is really just the beginning of the season, and we all know what happens by the end of the season. So,
well,
unfortunately,
I was in right next to Penn Station in Manhattan, and there's a Vikings bar, and they were going crazy. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I was not happy that the Minnesota Wild lost their first game yesterday.
They've started already?
Yeah. The first game was yesterday against Winnipeg.
Was it a real game?
Well, yeah, preseason.
Oh, they don't count.
No, I think it was a few preseason. No, it was game one, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. First game.
The Lynx were on yesterday, too.
They lost
though. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they're still in it. They can still keep going if they win the next game.
Yep. Yeah. Just got to keep going.
I always wanted to have a
Minnesota sports fan is like a special, it's like a special designation. They should actually create something for us nationally to
Well, I used to really care. And then the last Super Bowl the Vikings were in, they broke my heart in 1977 against the Raiders. And then since then, I haven't really cared that much.
Is that the last time they were in the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Oh, they came so close over the last couple of years with the last several.
Well, they were in it four times and lost it.
Oh, it's not whether you win the game. It's like, are you in the game? I'm joking.
Oh, my God. Mr. Jockstrap here. Hey, really happy. Let's swing it over. The polls are looking good. We have to vote early and then take our relatives to vote. And so that's what we talk about a lot here. But we got the debate tomorrow. Are you going to be watching that?
Of course. I'm excited. Are you going to go to are you watching it at home? Or are you going to go to watch party?
Well,
how come you're not hosting a watch party?
AM 950 is, but I'm in New York still, so I will be watching it in New York. But I'll be in DC for the swearing in.
Really?
Oh, you will.
I'm sure.
You can come home and I can swear at you for free here.
Yeah. Oh, I was waiting for that. Is this segment over yet? Ho!
I'm so excited that you're having my good friend, my brother, technically he's my nephew, Barry Hand. I'm probably older.
We should pop him on, but I think he's shaving because he didn't realize that we were going to be on the radio.
Is he shaving his face or his head? Which one?
I don't know. Barry, you're on. Can you tell us? I know you have to unmute your mic there, Barry.
I can unmute. I can come on.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of curious. I got a face for radio. I don't have no hair. My hair is running away from my face. And now everybody's on video.
Welcome to 2024.
Yeah. You had some zingers there earlier, Tony. I'll join you when it's time to go up Peyton Roberts.
This is Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
This is a special report from ABC News, the vice presidential debate. I'm Daria Albinger.
immigration, tensions in the Middle East, abortion, and of course the economy. They're all expected to be major topics in tonight's CBS vice presidential debate. Republican J.D. Vance and Democrat Tim Walz will face off in New York. Jeffrey Skelly, a senior elections analyst with Our Partners at 538, says the stakes are high because the race remains extremely close.
It is looking like a race that could potentially be decided by one state. There's always a tipping point state, whether it's a close election or a landslide. But the situation we have here is that the election looks very close. And so there is a possibility, about a 1 in 8 shot based on our most recent calculations, that this election could come down to one state.
And it could be the last debate before the November election. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The ACLU has a new guide to let students in Wisconsin schools know their rights. It covers everything from bullying to book bans to bathroom use and gender identity. There are also tips for social media use and for student journalists. The ACLU says every student has a right to a safe and inclusive learning environment. Mail carriers across the country are calling for better working conditions. The post office only holds one public hearing for workers a year. Mail carrier Sherry Butler says her colleagues are holding rallies instead.
It just kind of grew as more people became interested. The small idea of a letter-writing campaign turned into a larger movement called We Won't Be Silenced. With this movement, we are ending the silence and sharing why our stories need to be told.
Workers are frustrated with the Postmaster General's efforts to consolidate the Postal Service. More than 120 rallies were held nationwide Tuesday. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba.
Okay, DC Comics fans, there is yet another movie in the pipeline. A film that will feature Batman villains Deathstroke and Bane is being developed. The Hollywood Reporter says the project is in the early stages. How early? There is only a writer and producer attached. The studio is in the middle of its search for a director and actors. Update your resumes. We haven't heard much from Haley Joel Osment lately, although he does turn up from time to time. As an 11-year-old, the actor was Oscar-nominated for his role in The Sixth Sense opposite Bruce Willis. Despite his tender age, the two became friends, and Osment said the friendship with Willis lasted long after the shooting, as Willis would call to check in on him from time to time over the years. Willis was diagnosed with dementia 2 years ago at the age of 69. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy for tonight, a low in the low 40s. Mostly sunny and nice for tomorrow, a little breezy in the afternoon, highs in the low 70s. We climb to the mid-70s on Thursday with sun, but cool to the upper 60s on Friday. It's 55 right now.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Congresswoman Summer Lee.
The American Stability Act doesn't just address the need for raising of the wage. The second thing is that tax reform piece, shifting the burden from the folks who are working class to the, not just the 1%, the 0.01% of people who have seen so many benefits in this rigged system, and we have to start to unrig it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
She is performing in Wisconsin. Charo, you might want to end up moving here because you're going to have that great of a time in Baraboo. Let me just ask you this. Do you like cheese?
I love the cheese. I'm going to be eating cheese for 24 hours. It's a great, not really. You have a great reputation with the cheese. Wisconsin cheese is very, very famous.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Dom Salvia.
Next time, Matt Rothschild will join me in studio. We'll review the VP debate and we'll talk about the Middle Eastern conflict.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Ha ha!
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native-owned JF's Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
Yes, I am awake. Oh, wow. Hey, we're here with Hunter Thundercloud, and we're talking about his vision and the good work that he's going to be doing, helping our communities. And it's a great talk about recovery and spirituality and things that I hold dearly personally. And I talk a little bit about this, that I'm November 9th, 1984 was the last time I used anything, alcohol or drugs or marijuana or anything. And I'm coming up on 40 years. And Haley, I know I look really young. I was probably two or three when I sobered up, but no, I'm old. I'm a definitely a baby elder at 63 here, but it saved my life. And one thing that Hunter and I were talking about, what I really enjoy too, is that you know, connecting the dots backwards, how I got here, and it's so important, and it's part of our jam when we do recovery at things, whether it's a 12-step program or whatever helps you stay clean and sober. We have no market on that, but it's a spiritual disease. And it's great talking to you, Hunter. I really want to let our audience know how they can support, find out more information about your work, and let them know.
Well, we have I do have a website right now. It's just the landing page, but there is an email there. We are looking for investors right now. You know, I have a house under contract, so we're hoping to open within the next 4 to 5 months. The contract on the house is for November 4th. So if everything goes right, we'll have a residential house. We have to convert it, but you know, it's a big project, and I'm lucky that I've done okay in business where I can financially get some of this going and have lenders help us out. You know, I didn't realize I could get a loan to buy a house like this, you know, and that really kind of changed the projection of this, because we've been talking about this for years. You know, and capital is always a really difficult thing for new businesses, you know, deciding how we're going to start it, where we're going to find funding, you know, and it's too bad that, like, lots of tribes have money to start things like this, but they don't have the infrastructure. And for me, it's the opposite. I feel like I have the infrastructure and maybe not enough capital, you know, and the investors that I've been looking for recently, most of them are private Ho-Chunk people. So they're individuals and they're Ho-Chunk members, and they've been able to help get some seed funding going. And my businesses have been able to help with it. You know, about 80% of the people that work for me are in some form of recovery. So, you know, it's our mission to always be involved in this community in every way possible. You know, whether it's Native or not, you know, sobriety and, you know, recovery community is where my heart is, you know, because all of us have really been affected by it. But I don't know where I can put my email or, you know, right now it's under thundermakerwellness.com. But it's just a landing page. But there is an email where you can get a hold of me if you're curious on how you can help financially, or, you know, maybe provide other things, support, networking. I mean, we're really going to look for tribes that are direct contract with us, because there's so few privately owned Native residential rehabs in the country. There's probably fewer than 50 of them. Most rehabs are either IHS run or tribal government run. Mm-hmm. And, you know, So usually when they're run either of those ways, they're limited in different ways because of bureaucracy. privately owned things, we can do different things. You know, we can do things maybe a little bit faster.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I totally believe, I was in the field for a couple years back in the 80s when I first sobered up, and my daughter is a drug and alcohol counselor too, my Hinu, and it's so important for people to see themselves in these people that are trying to help them. Hunter, you know, having a native and a native talking to another native about things that are maybe different than maybe a well intentioned white person that's a counselor trying to help. But I there is that different thing to, you don't have to explain your history and your and the history of Native Americans to move on. It's so important.
For sure. I mean, you know, when I've done my presentation and I've done my presentation in front of Natives, it's almost like I don't have to talk about the problem because we all understand it already. You know, when I've looked for investors that are non-Native, you know, I have to explain why this is a problem or an issue. You know, most Native communities and families have this issue internally.
Absolutely.
And you know, my brother passed away 3 years ago. I mean, it affects us all pretty often, you know? And the thing is, it almost feels like sometimes it's like, are there options for us? Are there enough options, you know? And, you know, when I bring up those numbers for Native-owned rehabs, there's 20,000 rehabs in this country. So, you know, I had someone ask me, well, are you gonna accept everyone? And it's like, we probably have to because of how we take money. But also, you know, there's 19,000 other rehabs people can go to. I mean, we're focused on Native issues for a reason, because the lack of them. You know?
Right.
I mean, so.
Yeah. Well, if you get private funding and tribal funding, you won't have to do that. That's a thing that we should talk about and focus on here while you're still up here in the Midwest. I'm leaving town, but I definitely want to give you a call about some ideas I just thought of too, when it comes to investors. I just believe in everything you're doing, and I appreciate, you know, it takes a lot of guts to tell your story and then also talk about solutions that, people aren't really used to hearing solutions. So I just commend you so much, Hunter.
Thank you. I mean, I feel like I've always been a doer. You know, I'm a contractor. I'm not a carpenter. You know, I've been in construction field for 20 years. You know, the one thing I've learned from it is, you know, if I want to build something, I have to build it. I can't talk about mm-hmm. it. You know, like if I want something to get done, I'm just going to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and there might be parts of this I might fail with initially, but I'll keep trying and I'll make it work. And I'm scared, but I'm still going to do it. You know, there's a healthy fear, and you know, I have so much support. I'm not doing this alone. I have mm-hmm. tons of people in Arizona that are helping me. My family, I have an Arizona family. And they help me in every single way. You know, we actually live in a community. You know, we have four houses on our property, and there's over, you know, so 12 of us with four families, you know, and we live together, you know, and in my mind, we live together like the old way. We eat together, we pray together, you know, we celebrate birthdays together. You know, when life is hard, we have people we can rely on, you know, and, you know, like, we have to go back to those ways, because that's what we're designed to do. Our clan systems, you know, like, all of our tribal stuff is around community. It's not about being individuals. You know, you can be an individual within your clan, but, you know, we're taught clan systems so that you're able to have a direction and purpose, you know, but you can still be an individual in that, but you always have a duty to something, you know? And I think my mom would always talk about our duty isn't just to our family, but it's, you know, to our community, you know, our tribe, you know, our people. Like, it isn't just to our, you know, direct family, you know, and we want to bring those values back, you know, and these are the things we're going to teach in our rehabs, you know, try to make people understand that we need to help each other if we want to get rid of generational trauma, you know, right? And it'll take a long time.
Yeah. I
mean, it's a big project.
Well, and it's one step at a time, as we learn, you know, inch by inch, it's a cinch, yard by yard, it's hard. And, you know, it is about community. And we talk about community here, but it is about community. Everything, whether, you know, I know you through your relatives and they're in the community, and that makes you in the community. And it's about bringing people back to the community. And I just can't say enough positive things. And we have a lot of listeners that are listening to us on Facebook and YouTube that are really saying, like Santina said, you have your ancestors behind you, Hunter. And Dennis said, keep plugging away, Hunter. You got this. There's people out there and that are supporting this in a big way. And I just can't thank you enough for coming on. And I'd love to have you come on some more too down the road here. Do you have any, we have a minute left. I just want you to be able to say your piece and let people know how they can get a hold of you and support you.
You can find me on Facebook, Hunter the Thundercloud. Or you can go to our website. It's ThundermakerWellnessCenter.com. But otherwise, you know, I'll respond to anything. You know, I even here when I'm going to the tribe, people want to ask me questions and you can message me on Facebook. And I make an effort to talk to everyone that I can. This is such a big issue, you know, and the more people want to talk, the more I'll do, you know. And we have a lot of support in Arizona. So, you know, it'd be great if I could come back on with Air Fundmaker. This has got a lot of insight. So.
Yeah. We'll do a whole show with you, Hunter. We'll make that happen real soon. Hey, thank you so much for being on. And we'll talk to you very soon. That was Hunter Thundercloud. And we'll be right back after this short break. You're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Everyone likes a litter-free ride on Metro Transit buses and trains, so pitch in. Take pride in your ride and take your trash off with you when you get off at your stop. You'll find trash bins at every Metro station. Want to help clean up transit stops in your neighborhood? Join the hundreds who volunteer to adopt a stop and keep it picked up. Learn more at metrotransit.org/adopt-a-stop. That's metrotransit.org/adopt-a-stop.
Protect your children from measles. Measles is a serious disease that spreads easily and can lead to hospitalization and death. The best way to prevent measles is by getting the MMR vaccine. It is safe and effective. Hennepin County Public Health is hosting free vaccine clinics for children ages 0 through 18 this summer and fall. No registration necessary. Our next vaccine clinic is on Saturday, September 28th at Brookdale Library. Learn more by visiting hennepin.us/immunizations.
Join the community spirit at Four Sisters Farmers Market, a seasonal hub for cultural placemaking, food access, and indigenous values. Four Sisters Farmers Market has always emphasized their commitment to the community and inclusivity, accepting SNAP and EBT benefits. Stop by and get affordable, healthy, and culturally appropriate local food. Four Sisters Farmers Market is open Thursdays 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. and is located on the American Indian Cultural Corridor off of Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. Discover more about Four Sisters Farmers Market on their social media accounts.
Discover the emotional depth and vivid storytelling of Jay White's Arikara proper at All My Relations Arts in Minneapolis. This solo exhibition celebrates Arikara culture through the lens of an urban Indian perspective. Experience themes of empowerment, depictions of Native women, stars, and star quilts within White's vibrant acrylic paintings. Arikara proper is showing now through October 5th at All My Relations Arts in Minneapolis. Get inspired by Jay White's powerful storytelling on canvas. Details at allmyrelationsarts.org.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
How?
And here's Wendy with the new sacred animals.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Haley. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dagar Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. It's always my pleasure to do that. Today, I'm going to be talking about declawing your cat. So a lot of people want to declaw their cats. I mean, cats can be destructive. There is a rescue organization in Minnesota, up north in Princeton, Minnesota, called Rough Start Rescue. I've watched Asia Davis, who is the founder, I guess she's the CEO and founder of the Rough Start Rescue. But years ago, I started following her. And it's really gone from this small little teeny rescue organization to something really, really special. I mean, she does such good work for the animals here in Minnesota. She has, you know, transports going, dogs coming and going from all over the United States, getting them the help that they need, rescuing them, setting up fosters. So if you're interested in fostering or helping, it's called Rough Start, R-U-F-F, Rough Start Rescue in Princeton, Minnesota. Check it out. And she posts, she's also on like the local news. They'll have her showing pets on the news, our local news stations, which dogs are up for adoption, how you could help. So it's really great. She does great work. So if you're listening at Azure, I'm sorry, it's A-Z-U-R-E, Azure Davis. So she posts, this is what she posts. We often get requests for declawed cats, but did you know declawing is actually harmful? It is not just a nail trim. It's a painful procedure that removes part of their toes, impacting their balance and behavior. Cats rely on their claws for climbing, stretching, and self-defense. Instead of declawing, consider alternatives like regular nail trimming, scratching posts, or soft nail caps. There is also two states in the country where it is illegal to declaw a cat. The first state to ban this practice was New York, and New York passed a comprehensive ban on this procedure in 2019. The second state was Maryland, which passed a similar ban in 2022. And she has a little poster here that you know, tells about the dangers of declawing your cat. So you want your cat to have physical and muscular health, emotional well-being, olfactory communication, and they use the cats for self-defense and confidence. 50% of declawed cats develop acute physical complications. 30% of declawed cats develop at least one behavioral problem. Declawing can produce chronic pain, arthritis and lameness, nerve tissue damage, gangrene, abscesses, paw pad atrophy, bone regrowth, osteomyelitis, litter box issues, and increased aggression. There's also one of the incentives that we've been working on in Minnesota, the Humane Society of the United States, is that there's a lot of landlords out there that one of the stipulations in the lease agreement is, yes, you can have a cat, but it has to be declawed. You can have a dog here, but it has to be debarked. So those are two things that I have worked on in Minnesota to stop that. The reason is, and we talk to people about, you know, a landlord wants a declawed cat, but here's the thing. The declawed cat is going to have behavioral problems. If they don't want to scratch in the litter box, they're going to go elsewhere in the apartment, right? And they're going to be more aggressive. They're going to pee where they're not supposed to pee if this happens to them. And it causes more damage than if you had a cat with claws. I mean, the cat with claws is only going to really scratch your own furniture. It's not going to, you know, scratch the walls in your apartment, I guess, unless you have like a mountain lion or something. But yeah, so there's a funny story I want to tell you guys. I've never told the story on the air, and I only tell a few people this because it's a little embarrassing, but here goes. So Robert and I always had cats in our house, and you know, some of them were a little bit destructive, and they would you know, claw the furniture. I was never, my philosophy is, if you're going to have, you know, dogs and cats and animals in your house isn't going to be perfect. It's not. It's just, don't strive for a perfection. I mean, that goes for kids too, right? If you want to have kids, you're not going to have a perfect house. They're messy. Animals are messy. Pets are messy. And that goes with the territory. So for me, I'm not really strict about that. And I did have a couple of cats who really honestly destroyed a chair that we had in the living room. It was a very nice lazy boy, kind of a fancy recliner. And these cats like really scratched the sides of this chair. And I don't know. I could have did better about training them not to, but whatever. It's fine. And our little dog, our little Chihuahua dog, Pancho, he would jump up on the chair, and then every day he would like dig a little in the cushion, and finally he made like a perfect little round circle, a hole in the chair that he could fit his body in, and that's where he would sleep. But really, this chair was totally ruined, and when it was time, you know, it was like, okay, we have to throw this chair out. This is really bad. But I said to Robert, I don't want you to bring it outside. Honestly, I don't want anyone to know we had this chair in our house. It's like really embarrassing. So what Robert did was he took the chair out and he brought it in the garage, and he chopped it up in little pieces with the saw, and he threw it out like a little bit at a time. And that's how we got rid of this chair. And none of our neighbors knew that we had this really beat up chair in our house. But, you know, I've tried like putting tinfoil around the chairs. That works really good to deter the cat. And then finally the cat learns like, okay, this is not where I should be scratching. Definitely get a scratching post. Have something that they can climb on in your house. You know, cats need to climb, they need to scratch, they need to do all that stuff. You know, Robert and I.
Civic media coverage of the vice presidential debate from CBS News in New York continues right now.
Welcome back to the CBS News Vice Presidential Debate. We want to turn now to America's gun violence epidemic. The leading cause of death for children and teens in America is by firearms. Senator Vance, you oppose most gun legislation that Democrats claim would curb gun violence. You oppose red flag gun laws and legislation to ban certain semi-automatic rifles, including AR-15s. So let me ask you, earlier this year, for the first time, the parents of a school shooter were convicted of involuntary manslaughter and sentenced to 10 years in prison. Do you think holding parents responsible could curb mass shootings? I'll give you 2 minutes.
Yeah, well, Nora, on that particular case, I don't know the full details, but I certainly trust local law enforcement and local authorities to make those decisions. I think in some cases the answer is going to be yes, and in some cases the answer is going to be no. And the details really matter here, of course. For example, if a kid steals a gun, that's going to be different than if a parent hands over a gun knowing that their kid is potentially dangerous. But look, I want to just sort of speak as a father of three beautiful little kids in our